I'm going to call to order a regular meeting for the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District for Wednesday, May 4, 2016. Would you all please rise with us for our Pledge of Allegiance?
Hand of your heart. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call.
Yes.
Here.
Here. Okay, so agenda review. Do any members of the board want to change the order of the agenda as presented?
Nope.
Nope. Okay. So I think we are going to proceed with the agenda as submitted by staff. One thing I guess we do need to do is add a swearing in for Mr. Huebner. So we should do that before public comment.
Yeah, Ben's suggestion to do that in a public forum. So if that's what the board would like us to proceed, we're happy to do that.
Everyone, we're okay with that?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, Amy, will you do that? Just do it right here.
Please raise your right hand and repeat after me, stating your own name. I, state your name, do solemnly swear.
I, Gerhard Huebner, do solemnly swear.
That I will support and defend.
That I will support and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance.
To the Constitution of the United States.
To the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
And to the Constitution of the State of California.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
Without
any mental reservation
or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully.
And that I will well and faithfully.
Discharge the duties upon which I am about to enter.
And will discharge the duties upon which I am
about to enter.
Thank you. Almost as tough as my wedding vows. Thank you.
I do. All right. Public comment. Opportunity for any member of the community to make comments on any item that is not on the agenda. Is there anyone who would like to speak to a public comment tonight?
Good evening. I'm Julie Tacker, and many times I've been to this podium and asked you to get out of the litigation business. And I think what I really want is to get out of giving lawyers jobs business or giving lawyers the opportunity to make work for themselves business. And there's three things I want to touch on tonight. I mentioned it 2 weeks ago before your board, and it was an 18.9-hour personnel matter that was generated out of Oceano in some kind of complaint against Mr. Clemens. And we did get to the bottom, I believe the bottom, of who levied the complaint, and that it was Mr. Guerrero. But we haven't gotten to the bottom of the substance of the complaint and why your attorneys made it their job to spend $3,000 of your dollars on themselves pursuing such a complaint, whatever the details might be. Something else that is bothering me about the attorneys and the make work product, I got a letter this week. I call it my $175 letter, because I got a letter from Ms. Stockton explaining that my public records request for the resume of Mr. Huebner could not be filled because your district doesn't have a copy of his resume. The fact is, you hired a consulting firm to do a search, to exercise the search, bring resumes from one or more, obviously Mr. Huebner's, to your board to read, and why that is not in the custody of the district is kind of unbelievable. That document belongs in Mr. Huebner's personnel file. Each one of you is up for election in November. A subsequent board member might be interested to know the qualifications that Mr. Huebner sold himself to you. Because he's a public contractor now, his resume is public record. What's keeping it from being public record is you don't have custody of it, which is absurd. And I would ask that you seek those documents from all the candidates. You're supposed to retain them for, I believe the legal retention policy is 2 years. You should have them, all of them. But Mr. Huebner's becomes public record because he is now your public servant. He just swore in. The other thing that's bothering me, as I was in attendance at the last board meeting and I saw it, but I watched the tape and I saw it again, and you can see it again and again if you go to slowspan.org. Mr. Trujillo was texting during that board meeting. I understand he was texting Mr. Guerrero, who was not seated that night. Mr. Guerrero was outside waiting to be called into closed session when I left that meeting. I have very strong concerns. Number one, over an attorney texting during a board meeting. What could possibly not wait? And I'm just going to let you deal with that. I think you know how I did send you all a letter, and you know what my concerns are. I believe it is unethical to try to change representatives during the board meeting to have Mr. Guerrero come into closed session and maybe have Ms. Lucy leave. So whatever happened that night, I'm going to leave it in your hands, but I think the public deserves an answer, and you need to get to the bottom of it.
Is there anyone else?
Patty Welsh, Arroyo Grande. Last meeting, I stated Mr. Scholes nominated himself as chair. I was incorrect. You basically begged to be chair, in my opinion, and I don't find you an effective chairperson. I know it is an election year for you, and I feel that is why you wanted to chair. But being chair means you need to be able to make tough decisions, and you don't seem to want to do that. More on that when we talk about the billing. First off, I cannot get the benefits package on the agenda, so I will now ask for it to be placed on the next agenda, and I hope that Ms. Lucy and Mr. Hill can help me with that. I also mentioned when you hired Mr. Huebner, I think he should have been placed on a probation period. Mr. Scholes, you disagreed, saying that being an at-will employee, you were always on a probation period. You then had the attorney back you up in your opinion. I still disagree with both of you. You were not looking out for the ratepayers, and that is what you are to do as a board member. The reason I think that a true probation period is warranted is because the GM gets 6 months severance pay if we don't have cause to let him go. So something as simple as a personality clash and you decide to let him go, he gets 6 months severance pay. Had we matched a 6 month probation period, we wouldn't have had to pay the severance pay. I hope that doesn't happen, but you need to look out for the ratepayers. When you realized you could not have Mr. Guerrero as a vice chair, you stated that you would be brought back at another meeting. You feel you resolved that by just removing him as the vice chair, and if you won't be at the next meeting, you will then name the vice chair. As a ratepayer, I want to know who the vice chair will be, not this to-be-announced junk. Stop kicking the can down the road and deal with it already. In closing, I'm going to ask that this board also start looking at what it will take to be a 5-member board and start working for that, because the 3-member deal really isn't working out well. That would be very helpful to have. That would be very helpful to the residents of this district. Now, on to the situation with Mr. Trujillo. He has not been with us that long, and I watched the slow span tape also. That should not be tolerated. Thank you.
Is there anyone else?
Sharon Brown, Grover Beach. Chairman Scholes, Director Lucy, and Director Hill, I second the part of Ms. Welch, statement asking, when will we know who our vice chair is going to be? And is there an interim vice chair?
Thank you, Ms. Brown. Is there anyone else? Okay, I'm going to close it and bring it back to the board. And let's see, legal counsel. I think Ms. Tacker had brought up the question of Mr. Huebner's resume. Is there any additional insight you can provide us on that?
Mr. Chair, I did do a letter to Ms. Tacker and stated all the things that she said in that letter, and that is that's it.
Okay.
Thank you.
I know Mr. Huebner was probably going to discuss this in his comments later, but I would maybe ask you to address the request, the issue regarding benefits.
Certainly, Chair Scholes, have looked at it, did spend significant amount of time. I want to reassure you that we did take your comments seriously, and I met with our HR consultant for over 2 hours discussing it. It is a very complicated issue. It involves our employees and employee relations, and we're going to continue to work on it and have further discussion, you know, with the board. So I want to reassure you that we have not let it drop. It is important, obviously, to the board as well as to the public, and we are working through the issues. At this point, I don't have that specific time frame for you, other than I know it's important.
And I think you can probably explain what complicates the matter, because I certainly want Ms. Welch and anyone else to know that this is not something that we take lightly. So I want to provide as much information as we can.
It's complicated because there's vesting rights with retirees. So you have, I would say, 4 different type of employees that the district has. We have district employees that are retired and collecting that benefit. We have classic members. There's just a few, but there are some. And this is the public employee retirement system, or PERS in their vernacular. Then you have the post-recent Governor Brown Reform Initiative, or they call it PEPRA. I can't pronounce what else that acronym is. And so we have the majority of our employees in that. And then there would be anybody we would hire the following day, or let's say tomorrow, or the board were to institute some reform, you would have anybody we would hire in the future. So really 4 different types, and of course, you know, we're looking to be fair and equitable yet also looking at the sustainability of the benefit and what's best for the district as well as what's fair and equitable for the employee. So it's not a one-size-fits-all, and it's complicated because we have to be lawful and we have to be mindful of labor relations.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Huebner. Let's move on to board comments. Any board comments?
Sure.
Mayor Hill?
I would echo the request for timely and thorough review of the benefits package, most especially the OPEB, rather than the PERS Classic or the pure retirement benefit, if you will. OPEB, I think, in specifically some facets of the health plan are of most interest and may in fact be unsustainable. I would also request that Mr. Huebner provide a copy of his resume. I had kind of assumed that the employment agent would have provided that to the district, and I didn't give it a second thought, as a matter of fact. I just assumed that that would have been taken care of, so I would make that request as well.
Yeah, and I would agree with that. Okay. Very good. Let's move on to the consent agenda. We have two items on consent tonight, approval of the minutes of the meeting of April 20th and approval of warrants. Do any members of the board want to pull any item from consent? No? Okay. Do any members of the community want to make comment on the consent agenda tonight?
Good evening. Mark London and Ryan Grandy. I saw on the warrants that we have a another bill for the attorneys of over $12,000. I don't get it. Is the board prepared to reimburse the ratepayers for this expense? It just keeps going on and on and on. Please stop.
Anyone else?
I also saw that we have $7,750 on top of the $5,000 retainer for Miss Melissa Thorm. This needs to stop. Guys, do you even hear us? Enough is enough with these legal bills. I think the legal bills have now exceeded the fine that we have. The other question I have is the John F. Rickenbach for $11,400 for the redundancy. Have we straightened that up from what Ms. Tacker said about him billing for being at the district and stuff, that he wasn't there? I think that needs to be straightened up before we write a check for almost $12,000.
Julie Tacker again, and I'll start with an easy one. On page 5A, item 5A, page 2 of the minutes. Julie Tacker would like to see more comprehensive minutes. Acting Administrator Clemens stated that action minutes are appropriate. Mr. Clemens can say that. I'm asking you to change the minutes to be more reflective of what the public says. So I would hope that you simply direct staff to expand what the members of the public say. And you can see later in the agenda packet when we talk about billing how valuable those comments are, or if they're missing, how much work it is to go back and find what somebody might have said. I, too, would like to speak to the warrant register, the $5,000 retainer for Melissa Thorm. I thought you guys took that off 2 weeks ago and weren't going to give her retainers to work from or bill against. So let's see that removed. And then I see the Rickenbach invoice or warrant is here. You would be, if you pass this right now, Mr. Rickenbach can leave and not have his agenda item addressed later in the agenda. So you'll have to pull that and approve that later after you've had the discussion later on in the agenda.
Is there anyone else? Okay, seeing no one else come forward, I'm going to close this to the public, bring it back to the board. Should we have some discussion? Jim?
Mr. Chair, I would request that in that Mr. Rickenbach's matter is on our minutes or on our agenda for item 6C, I would request that that particular item be pulled as well as the $5,000 retainer for the attorney from Sacramento.
Mary, anything?
I'm not quite sure what the reason would be for the Rickenbach contract. So I'm willing to second that motion, but if we can discuss it and see if we might want to put it back on, if we could possibly do that, that would be helpful.
Okay.
I just went back and read the proposal and read the scope of work, and so I'm willing to second your motion. It's just, I guess, for discussion.
Jim, what was your intent on the Rickenbach?
Well, it's on our agenda as item 6C to consider that individually. Mm-hmm. So I think we can safely approve the other warrants, holding that one aside, and then address that specifically at item 6C.
Yeah, sure. I'll second that, and also the $5,000 retention.
Yeah, and I agree. We had on the retention, we had pulled that once or twice before, so I think there needs to be some discussion as to why that continues to show up. And I'm okay with your discussion regarding the Rickenbach bill. So with that, I guess we've got a motion from Board Member Hill and a second by Board Member Lucy. And so what we would, let's just make sure that this motion is a couple of things, right? One is regarding the minutes. So the minutes of April 20th, 2016, and then approval of the warrants with the exception of the $5,000 retainer for Downey Brand. And then we also are setting aside the $11,400 bill from John Rickenbach. And we will have a discussion under item 6C, and depending on the results of that, we will take that matter up, correct?
Yes.
Okay, staff, do you have that? Okay. So there's a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? None. Motion carries.
What I have to say is I really like the format drafting, the minutes, just having draft on the minutes that are not approved yet versus some that are floating out there or something, not knowing their status. And being able to find the items was exceptionally easy. So thank you for that.
Okay. Appreciate that comment. We worked hard to kind of institute a little bit of changes in terms of formatting and readability and ability to find documents.
Great. Thank you very much.
So let's move on to action items. This is item 6A, fiscal year 2015-16, third quarter budget performance review. Mr. Huebner.
Thank you, Chair Scholes, board members, members of the audience. So something perhaps a little different. I'm going to be introducing some of these items. Occasionally I'll do it from the desk and occasionally here from the podium. So when I looked at this particular item, and you've had these in the past, I believe, under consent, but I did a fresh look at your budget and the reporting, and I thought there was some good news here, a little bit of a success story. So I wanted just to highlight it a bit, and you can see the write-up. So let me just jump into it, and I have just a short presentation, and let me see if I got this going right. Here we go. So you're in the third quarter, end of March 31st, which is July 1st, 2015 through March 31st, close of the quarter. Today's report provides the district's performance as it pertains to its revenues, expenditures, and cash balance. We included table one, which has the revenues, and I have that table up here, and I'll show that to you in a moment. Table two is the overall expenditure performance through the third quarter. Lastly, you have the cash and investment balance as of March 31st with all the district's accounts. And here's the really the good news. Overall, you've expended 65% of the budget expenditures at 75% mark. So 75% benchmark, 65% of expenditures. Here's the received. So this is your revenue side. As you know, you have three fund accounts, 19, 20, and 26. Some of them, obviously, you can see we've received more than we anticipated. But overall, you're at an 81% percentage amount. Let's go to expenditures. So some of them are at 50, 55, 32%. But in the aggregate, we calculated out to be 65% at the 75% benchmark. So in conclusion, overall expenditures remain well below the adopted budgeted amounts. The total district revenues are currently on track to the third quarter. No budgetary changes are recommended at this time. Individual budgeted items, which we've included in part of your staff report, either are under or over. So where we've identified some of the under expenditures, we've identified why, and then some of the overs, where perhaps it was miscoded to a particular account or hasn't been expended yet or some other explanation, we've included to you. And with your upcoming budget exercise, we hope to eliminate some of those with a little bit more budget planning. And of course, any changes that occur in the fourth quarter or beyond, we'll be bringing back to your board for consideration. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Huebner. Any questions of Mr. Huebner? No? Jim?
Just a comment. I appreciate you bringing this forward not as a consent item so that the members of the public get to see what our financial condition is. As hopefully we can carry that on quarterly. I think it's
absolutely
valuable information.
Happy to do it.
Very good. Mary?
I was actually happy to see, and I assume, I guess I just guessed that they would be under budget, and I'm really glad to see that it's at 65%. The questions I have for you is, it would be on page 3.
So now I'm going to have to jump back to my desk.
And they were the following accounts listed below were greater than their budgeted amounts at the close of the third quarter. Now, I would expect that on an operation such as the sanitation district, but on some of the administrative standard, you know, items that occur every year, I don't want to necessarily pick one out because then they'll think I'm picking on something or, but let's just say, for example, permits, fees, and licenses.
Mm-hmm.
Now, could we not, and that was about 144% over budget. Is that correct?
Yes, according to the information that was provided.
Okay. So since that's an administrative operation, it happens every year. We know whose certs are going to be up, whose certs aren't up, and all that stuff. The following year, will we be able to get closer to our mark on that?
I believe so. And I'll let John answer perhaps why we had perhaps more certification, if certification was a reason for the 144%. And I'll just,
and
I will
ask you the second part of my question.
Okay.
And then I can get probably a full answer.
Okay.
And then secondly, if we went over 44%, right,
mm-hmm.
What account did we borrow the difference from?
So typically it would come out of any balance or contingency. In the aggregate, it would come out of a particular other fund. And again, I would have to look to staff to see how they coded it or how they adjusted it.
And that would that be a board action to say, we're going to borrow from this account because, you know, we have to do this from this account that has, you know, an excess amount in here? Would that be a board action? Would that be a resolution?
Typically, in my experience, you, for the lesser amounts, you don't, because
right.
You would essentially in the overall budget you approve, as long as you stay within the under the overall amount, mm-hmm. You generally don't, okay. Especially for the small admin accounts like a computer or licensing.
Right.
Or
I would.
However, if there was a big project that went over mm-hmm. a certain percentage, I would certainly bring it back to you for some type of adjustment. But these small adjustments where, you know, it's a couple thousand here and there, typically are not worthy of having, you know, that kind of adjustment.
Okay, great. Thank you.
John, do you have any? No? Nothing?
Great. And I, too, thank you for bringing this and not it not being on consent so that we can really have this discussion. And I would just say it is common practice that if I think for the most part overall, we are certainly, you said, around 63% of the expenditures through 75% of the year. So that is good news. And I would look at some of these ones that are over. I think we'll have an opportunity to fix that when we move forward with discussions of the next fiscal year budget, because perhaps some of those items were projected low. And,
correct.
Right? Okay.
Okay.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Huber.
Thank you.
Let me open this up to the public. Is there anyone that would like to address this item?
Good evening, board and staff. Beatrice Spencer, Rio Grande. I would just also like to echo the comments. It was very nice to have a little budget review, and it was great. It was good. What would make it great is if we would eliminate the excessive legal fees. I didn't speak to them earlier, but month after month after month, warrant list after warrant list after warrant list, we would be in a lot better shape if we stopped paying the legal fees to Downey Brand, to, and I hate to say it, I was hoping for better with new counsel. It's been the opposite. I wanted to be patient initially. We had the Knutson report. There was some bringing people up to speed. But it's been several months now, and it doesn't look like anything's lightening up. And I think that was the hope of the public, the ratepayers, and it'd be really nice if we could get that under control. Thank you.
Thank you for those comments. Is there anyone else?
Julie Tacker again, and I'm a little bit confused by Ms. Lucy's comments in light of some of the history that's gone on in the last 6 months or so. There was no quarterly review in October because Mr. Clemens had just come on in September. He skipped that and brought you a mid-year. I think it was in January. I'd have to go back and check. I didn't check. But in between, you brought an agenda item forward asking for any overages. So for you to say you're not surprised by the situation now, when you were completely baffled then, now I'm baffled, because Mr. Clemens should be congratulated for his leadership throughout this time period, and much of what gives this district the healthy situation that it's in is that he charged $800 a month to be its administrator. He took the hit for this district, and you weren't paying for a part-time administrator, and you're certainly weren't paying for a full-time administrator. So when the next budget rolls around, that administrative position is going to be a very different picture as far as the finances are going. And that's kind of why I want to see that resume. I want to see what Mr. Huebner can do so that you are not outsourcing to other consultants when he can perform the duties that he says he can do, whatever those are. I haven't seen it. So, and I don't know if you saw it. Were you, Ms. Lucy, sorry.
Finish your comments.
I'm curious if she saw his resume. Okay.
Thank you. Is there anyone else?
No, I just.
Oh, hold on. So no one's coming forward. Let me close it and bring it back to the board. Mary, you have a comment you want to make?
Yeah, I just apologize. I did not take this as a negative report. I took it as a positive report, and sorry, my comments of applauding you staying under budget was taken wrong.
Okay. So this is just a receive and file report, so we will do that. Thank you. So we're going to move on to item 6B, which is an update on efforts to place the district's billing services on the county tax roll and potential options for proceeding. Mr. Huebner.
Thank you, Chair Scholes, board members, members of the audience. Gerhard Huebner again. I will be presenting this item. I do have a PowerPoint presentation. It follows the staff report. Feel free to stop me at any time if you have any questions. With that, I'll just begin. A little bit of background. Back in at your last board meeting, you directed staff to return with a discussion of the district's billing services with its member agencies and its current direction to proceed with placing its member agencies on the county tax roll for fiscal year 2016 and 17. Further directed staff to provide a comprehensive review of the past chronology of events, backgrounds, and previous board direction, options for considerations, and their advantages and disadvantages. So that's the progression that you'll see this presentation. This started, at least the records that we have and what we provided back in July 2012. Back then, there was a proposal for $60,000 as payment for billing service from Oceano Service District. Move forward to February 2013, and I'm going to be short with these. I'm trying not to read them exactly as listed. You have the information. Sanitation District Administrator retired before any agreement was reached. In that March, followed with an invoice for $26,000. Invoice was rejected. The General Manager of Oceano Service District left without the issue being resolved. June 2013, the interim district administrator submits a draft budget with $22,000 budgeted to pay for billing each member agency. Now we are at May 2015. Sanitation district staff discovers no contracts with the member agencies, at least any of the existing for these billing services, and no line items for services provided. That led to discussion in subsequent board meetings and attempt to correct this billing issue. In July of last year, the board directed staff and legal counsel to begin investigating billing options. October, the board directed staff to begin the process of moving the wastewater fees to the San Luis Obispo County tax roll and seek an agreement with each member agency based on a formula of $15,000 base fee and 25 cents per customer per billing. November, you directed staff to enter into the interim billing agreements with the city of Aurora Grande and Grover Beach, and board was directed to process the billing for Oceano Community Service District customers in-house. August 26th and October 28th, 2015, Oceano Community Service District. So I've included the agenda, the staff reports, and the meetings, their set of materials regarding their billing services, discussions that happened at their board level minutes, direction that they provided, a potential for a special meeting in November 10th of that year with a counterproposal, or at least an expectation perhaps of a counterproposal by November 5th. November 18th, your board adopts Resolution 2015-336, approving agreement, and this is with the consulting firm for assistance with wastewater service charge, billing administration. April 6th, the board directs staff to continue the process of wastewater fees. So April, you have this discussion. Staff continue on the direction that was provided the previous November, or October, excuse me. So that brings us to the chronology. So let's look at some of the fiscal considerations. Possible fiscal challenges should all three member agencies be placed on the county tax roll at once, potential of a administrative fine from the regional board or state of California, and payments for our redundancy project design could create a potential cash flow problem. So that was some of the discussion back in April in terms of perhaps postponing the tax roll for another year. Board didn't approve that recommendation, and this is what I mentioned earlier, was to continue your previous October direction to place all three member agencies on the tax roll for fiscal year 16 and 17. As I mentioned, we have billing agreements with the City of Aurora Grande and City of Grover Beach. They do expire end of June, and the district currently bills the Oceana CSD customers directly. Other fiscal considerations, the district chooses to place its wastewater fees on the roll, roughly about $10,000 to $15,000 initial cost. We figure some of the initial ongoing costs will be similar. If you go with the board-approved formula, the total cost would be approximately $65,000. In the fiscal year 2015-16, or 14-15, district paid a total of $55,000 billing fees, and you can see what those amounts were. We included in the staff report a timeline, action, and responsible, and due date, completion status for us to complete this wastewater fee to get it on the county tax roll. We are currently on track. However, certain critical milestones are fast approaching. So, moving now on options for your consideration, we've included five. There may be others, but those were at least five that we, in the realm that we could figure out. We also included advantages and disadvantages, sort of to balance the argument for each one, trying to be as unbiased as possible in providing you with the information. So the first one is all three member agencies, option one, converting to the county tax roll beginning 2016-17. This is the current direction that you've directed staff to proceed with. I already mentioned how much it would cost annually. Low bill cost to the customers. We wouldn't have to negotiate any more time or spend time negotiating contracts. Be consistent billing for all customers. Fees would be paid in a timely fashion. Delinquent payments through the county tax roll. Some disadvantages, potential for delay in revenues if payments only received twice, may result in cash flow issues, as I described earlier, may require some property owners and residents to adjust their billing and payment methods, and some may see this as a new tax versus an ongoing wastewater service fee. So that's option number one. Option number two is all three member agencies resume billing practice under agreement. This is the previous arrangements that we had. Some advantages, no changes to the billing methods with certainly two of the agencies, and we resume with the third. As we've done before, they're well established, have a history of success, easy to implement, revenues are predictable, delinquencies are responsibility of the member agencies. Disadvantages, a little higher cost, got to negotiate existing contracts, monitor performance. Some unequal billing capacities and costs among member agencies, realizing that each agency is different in their organization and their ability to bill. And, of course, we only have contracts with two of the three member agencies, so we would have to negotiate one more. So that's option two. Option three, simply it's a hybrid of one and two. One or two of the agencies go to the county tax roll. The other is a bill on the district's behalf. So has similar advantages and disadvantages that you saw on option one and two. Advantages, lessens the initial financial impact of the district. Revenue would still be available. Reduces cost of billing incrementally. Disadvantages, does not take full advantage of potential cost reductions. And, of course, requires contract negotiations. Oops. I'm not seeing option four on this. Well, we're out of order. So I'll go to option four. Option four is district assumes, conducts all the billing. We have advantages. We have complete control over the billing internal. Crossover training over time, we become very familiar with the rate payers. may result in some cost savings over time, although we haven't quantified that. Billing cost consistent among all customers. Disadvantages, initial costs would be implementably high, and you're going to have to, we'd have to consider, and we'd have to hire and train new staff. There would need to be software, billing system software would need to be purchased, hardware, no timely method for collecting the delinquent bills, and we have no ability to disconnect service, so if someone didn't pay. Option number five, retain outside agency billing. So this would be wholesale, take the billing to a consultant or a firm that is experienced with this. So advantages, no additional staff, billing contracts consistent with member agencies, consisting of the billing contracts are consistent and the billing cost is consistent among all customers. And disadvantages, it may be very costly. Obviously, it can come at a premium. It's unknown to us if there is anybody even available to do this kind of work that can provide all the necessary services. And then no mechanism for timely collection of unpaid bills. So let's move on to the analysis and the conclusion. So I have about three more slides left, and then I'll be ready for questions. To date, we've had 950 payments we received out of 2,100 bills sent out. And deposits of 1,100, well, get rid of that that other sign. So it's 111,253, a return rate of approximately 43,000, shortfall of 142,000. So these are updated numbers as of yesterday in the staff report. So the staff report was generated Friday. I asked the staff to update it so you'd have the most current information. We have roughly 300 return payments. We're working through those corrected addresses, and it'll be sent out for payment. So the shortfall is important because that's revenue that we expect to utilize either this year or next year, and it's for services provided. So getting back, we, unless otherwise directed by your board, district staff is proceeding under option one per your board's October and April 6th direction to place all three member agencies on the tax roll. Staff we'll need to proceed with mailing out the notices by next week if we're to follow the timeline that you have. And a resolution for this matter will need to be adopted by the board by your June 1st meeting, so that's not too far off. Another point to bring out is we have our consultant, NBS, who is assisting us. They've invoiced. We've paid approximately $2,500 for their services to date. So we've incurred some costs. We've also provided, so we've also today, just conclusion, provided several options for you, advantage of consideration, and really we seek your board's direction, reconfirmation of the current approach, or alternatively direct us to one of the other options. And with that, I'd be happy to answer your questions.
Thank you, Mr. Huber. That's a very thorough staff report. So let's see if there's any questions. Jim, do you have any questions?
No questions.
Mary?
And I do have staff here to assist me since they were helpful in preparing the record and they were here through most of the chronology.
Right, correct. I do have a lot of comments, but there's one comment that I'd like to point out all by itself, and that these are customers of the Sanitation District. They're not customers of the Oceano Community Services District. The Oceano Community Services District provides an administrative service to the SAN District. That's all we do with the SAN District. So it's very, very, you know, I can see it all through the notes, and I really do applaud people for putting this together. So I applaud staff for putting this together. But it has to be brought out that these are customers of the Sanitation District. Yes, they do reside in the Oceano area, but the Community Services District of Oceano only provides an administrative service for the Sanitation District. So I'm going to let that go and hold my other thoughts till later. But please keep that in mind.
Very good. Kira, do you have something?
No, I just said noted.
Very good. Let me ask you regarding, I think you showed a very compelling slide that talks about lost revenue, or at least the revenue that's yet to be collected. So what would be the process? Would we need to go into collections under the current system we're under? And if we were to have moved to the county tax rules, how would we address
that? I'd ask our legal counsel to assist with that question.
That's correct, Mr. Scholes. The only option would be to go to collections, file individual small claims actions, or hire a collection agency. A collection agency would take a cut of however many successful matters the collection agency brought. That amount varies depending on what you can negotiate with a collection agency, but I've seen in the past about one-third that a collection agency takes.
Okay, very good. Okay, so just for clarification, staff is just looking for direction.
We are. Either reconfirmation of your previous direction, which was option one, or direction to proceed under one of the other options you see fit.
Okay. And then can you just clarify, the board had taken action on the current path we were on two different dates or in two different months, correct?
My understanding is, yes, based on the chronology, it was back in October 28th, 2015, and you reaffirmed that at your April meeting, April 6th meeting. And John's shaking his head.
Okay. So then I just want to get some clarification, because I know that in looking at some of the past staff reports, there was a discussion about going to the tax rolls, and there was a statement that said there were sufficient funds on hand to, in anticipation of us not being able to collect these or a delay. So now it seems that that position has changed. So I'm just trying to get a sense of.
I think it was just raising an issue that had been brought up before, that there's a potential.
Okay.
I suppose if we do everything at once, whether there would be a cash flow issue with our current fund that we do administrative, Fund 20, versus being able to access one of our reserve funds. And we're exploring a separate issue. We're exploring the utility of those funds and ability to utilize those funds for some of our projects. But I think that was the discussion that occurred previously.
Very good. Thank you. Those are all my questions for now. Mary, did you have another question?
In the administrative services, and I don't know how the other contracts for the other two municipalities, Grover and AGR, but I know that in administrating this service for the sanitation district, for unpaid fees, the administrator, which would have been OCSD, does take those to the tax rolls. We work very closely with the clients to get them up to speed. We go door to door. That wasn't included in part of the services in working with our member agencies. Secondly, there's door hangers. You're not going to find a collector out there who's going to go out and put a door hanger, nor are they going to hold hands to the customers. That also wasn't listed as part of the administrative service. New hookups. You know, old hookups all are provided by the administrator, Grover, Arroyo Grande, and Oceano. So there are other services besides just having that counter where people can come in and pay. But those administrators handle quite a bit of stuff for that.
And I guess, well taken, yes. In the case where each agency, how they handle billing and the service they provide may be different. It may not be an apples to orange comparison at all times.
Right.
I think that's what you're
looking
for.
We absolutely do our best to get people down as low as we possibly can, so the least amount of households go to the tax rolls for a lien. Like last year, we were able to get it all the way down to three people in the entire town. So I wanted to put that on there.
Okay, thank you for that information. So So let me open this up to the public. Is there anyone from the community that would like to address the item before the board?
Beatrice Spencer again. Wow. In reading this report, I was struck by the realization that you could just about divide it in half, and they were almost mirrored copies of the same problem. It happened in 2012. It was a problem with Oceano and their billing, and it happened again in 2015. And at the last meeting, when I talked about this and I said we'd been dealing with this for almost a year, Director Lucy kind of scoffed at me, and so I want to apologize because I was off by a month. It was April, and it's now May. So starting with this, I have a real quick question with respect to Mr. Huebner's report. And on page 4 of this report, it says here that the district costs for billing services are likely to be in the range of $10,000 to $15,000 annually. And I understand that you go back further in the report because, like I said, this is almost a repeat of what happened in 2012. From a report dated 8/17 of 15, item 6B, attachment C, page 5, it says here that the costs would be approximately $10,000 for a one-time setup fee, but there would be only a $3,500 annual maintenance fee to place the charges on the county tax roll. And if I understood the report tonight, it said it was $10,000 annually ongoing. So I have a question about that, because if it's a case of it being $10,000 to $15,000 annually ongoing, that's a big difference between it being $3,500 after the initial $10,000 setup fee. And then I am a little bit baffled by Director Lucy's administration comments, because I would expect that Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach are also making every attempt to collect, albeit on considerably larger numbers of accounts. There's a chart back in here that talks about Arroyo Grande having 6,500 services, Grover Beach 4,800, and Oceano 2,500. So when we're not talking apples to apples, it's because we're not talking numbers to numbers. I think all member entities do their best to collect their bills, regardless of which way they do it. In looking at this and realizing the same issues have arisen only 4 years apart, I looked at something from Mr. Gieslin to the Sand District dated July 6th, 2012, in which he talks about the need for billing for software modifications. And I recall that was something that the Oceano rep, I don't remember whether it was Director Lucy or Mr. Guerrero at that time, talking about how it was going to be a lot of work to take that off the billing, which we all know is incorrect. You just uncheck the box, that line item doesn't bill, and off you go. Moving further through the report on page or something dated September 25th, 2012, again, a letter to Mr. Gieslin from Mr. Gieslin to the Sanitation District. It talks about the district charging $49.30 per year, which worked out to about $2.02 per billing, and they are proposing a 900% increase to $44,293 from less than $5,000 previously. That looks to me like extortion. but it gets worse because then eventually the demand is for up to 66. So 44 is at least somewhere in the middle, although not much of the middle. Moving on to a letter to the sanitation district from Mr. Wallace back in October 2012. It talks about the billing for OCSD being $2.02 per service, Arroyo Grande being $2.01 per service, and Grover Beach really undercharging at 48 cents back then. These are all equivalent, mind you, this is back in 2012, equivalent to approximately the $2 that the county would be charging us now. So, or would be charging each property owner. So if there was a way to keep the charges within the city of Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach consistent to $2, which is what we would be paying the county, the ratepayers, I would prefer that that money stay within the city. But if Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach are going to continue to charge $22,000 for a service that Arroyo Grande consistently did for $12, and eventually Grover Beach was moved up to $9, keeping it at approximately $2, I think the issue of the cash crunch, which also was previously brought forward in September of 2012, then again in 2015, we may be better, the district may be better off keeping that money here rather than having it go to the county.
Ms. Spencer, I need you to.
I'm sorry. There's also another repetitive issue here back in 2012, again happened in 2015, and that is the Oceano's inability to attend a meeting to discuss the billing issues. That's in a letter to Mr. Geeslin to the Sand District, and Mr. Wallace replies, "We haven't met with you yet," and I remember that happening in 2015 again. So, in closing, I just want to say, I believe I was accused of being inconsistent in my approach or my desire for how this billing is handled. But for the ratepayer, you have an obligation to do what's best for the ratepayer. But we do have to take into consideration the cash crunch. So that would make me want to keep the billing for Arroyo Grande and Grover with those cities, if it does indeed cause a cash crunch. But as far as Oceano putting everyone through 4 years of this, they absolutely should go to the tax rolls. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Spencer. Is anyone else, please?
Good afternoon, Ron Arnoldson, ratepayer in Grover Beach. I just had some comments that really may not be financially dollar per dollar and month by month, but the way I look at it, as a ratepayer in Grover, my water bill / sewer bill is kind of innocuous at this point. I get it, I pay it, and it's it's bimonthly, so it's not really. I don't really even kind of notice it. You put it on the tax bill, I think it does add a burden to people, especially since Grover Beach has opted to put more tax, put the street repairs on the tax bill. And I think that if you look at what's coming down the pipe with CMR, they want to put another tax bill and put some more money on our tax roll. Other things I would think about in this realm is that from our cities, this is part of their accounting process. This is part of their job classification and title, and that it's something that is already incorporated in their in the cities that we have. If you take this away from them, does that mean they're going to, you know, that the people that work there are going to get $1 an hour less or something? I don't think so. They're going to do less work. I don't know. Maybe that's a factor. Maybe it's not. let's see, what was the other factors? And I think that once you go to the county, the county's never going to make things, it's just going to be more expensive. That's just the way county's going to be. And then you don't have any control over things when it goes to the county. At least this way we have our own local control. I mean, we all have the right as a group here to determine how we want to, you know, what our billing process is going to be and da-da-da-da. So when it goes to the county, you've lost it. And so those are my short little comments.
Is there anyone else?
Ms. Spencer did such a good job. I'm just going to kind of read what I wrote. But I want to start with, Mr. Sweet would not allow those emails to come forward before. And that was really a shame. That was a disservice to everyone in this room, including the board. This board wrote a check for a one-time peace offering to Oceano, and it was to take care of two back billing issues. Mr. Scholes, you never straightened out like you stated you were going to. So Oceano applied that in a way they wanted to. And I know that as a ratepayer, I brought that up to you twice, and it never got straightened out. So shame on you. This issue of billing has been going on since 2012, when out of the blue, OCD started asking for $60,000 after billing for only $4,930 prior. If Oceano is being shorthanded that much of a difference, you would think they would have caught on years before. The letter to Mr. Geeslin from Mr. Wallace dated September 25th, 2012 states, furthermore, the spreadsheet attached to your invoice doesn't have sufficient documentation / justification that would allow us to properly evaluate your proposed changes. For example, you propose to divide your entire field office and software / billing systems cost by 4 for the district's share of OCSD's cost. There was no explanation offered for the 25% assessment of these costs. It goes on later to say, as you may recall from our schedule of service charges, the district does not rely upon water consumption meter readings, but set a flat rate for the type of service connection. Therefore, those activities should not be allotted to the district. I feel that this is some of the same smoke and mirrors we are still getting from Oceano in regards to exactly what they are billing for. In another letter, Mr. Wallace points out the previous charges of $4,930 and the proposed charge of $44,293 is approximately 900% of the previous billing. Mr. Wallace even saw what Oceano was trying to do years ago. I read all the emails many times, and I'm just appalled that we do have the same problems 4 years later. Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach seem to be billing. We seem to be paying for our water. So I, too, am going to ask, why punish the two cities who are doing right? I'm going to have to ask that you put Oceano on the tax roll. As I've said, I don't have deep pockets. And it's easy enough to forget that money, yet when the tax bill comes, all of a sudden I'm seeing they're going, oh, yikes, I've got to show up with more money. And I just wonder how many other residents don't even know that this has been discussed so many times, and they're going to get a tax bill and realize they don't have the funds. Why are you wanting to hurt the district by not having money come in every 2 months from two of the districts? With the redundancy plan, the district needs money. And if you pull all of us on the if you put all of us on the tax roll, that could have a negative effect on the district and the meeting the deadlines we need to meet. After 4 years and many people trying to make this work, it is apparent Oceano is the cog in the wheel. And like Mr. Arnoldson said, you know, we've got the self-help transit tax that they want to increase the sales tax 0.5%. We've got the school bond. We've got the Cuesta bond. You know, you can't get blood out of a turnip. And Oceano doesn't have, you know, they're one of the poor communities and stuff, and they're going to be hurt by this. So, you know, it's just really a shame, but We need to resolve this. Thank you.
Is there anyone else?
Again, Sharon Brown, Grover Beach. And I, too, am going to read. Starting in July of this year, we will be into the fifth year of this billing controversy. While the district has not been able to forge an agreement among the three agencies that is fair and equitable for billing practices, the time for playing the blame game has long passed. The time for resolution is now, and that responsibility falls to you, the board. The decision is not an easy one, but that is why you are here. I'm sure that each of you feels competent in making hard and perhaps unpopular decisions. Your task is to be fair and equitable to all stakeholders and to the three agencies, while being fiscally responsible to assure the optimum operation of the facility. The staff has done an excellent job of delineating the five options: cost and the inability to collect on delinquent accounts should eliminate both self-billing and private companies' billing. And since an equitable formula for all three agencies has not been reached, we still have a billing impasse there. For some time it's gone on, it too should be ruled out. If we are to move forward out of our paralyzation, this leaves the two options of gung-ho, full speed ahead, with all three agencies going to the tax rolls now, or some sort of hybrid to give us a little cushion or work within our comfort zone in case we need that cash flow. This is, the time has come for us to say the tail is no longer wagging the dog.
Is there anyone else?
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tanaker, and Mr. Huebner said that staff has been here for most of the timeline. Well, I've been here for all the timeline, all of it. And in fact, I wrote a letter to then-Chair Nichols to alert him that Mr. Geeslin was, his own words, holding the check. He was intentionally extorting from this district, holding the check. He wasn't going to send the pass-through through. In the chronology, number 4 says May 2013 was April 15th, 2013. Mr. Geeslin was fired. The 300 misaddressed bills, I'd like to know what that equates to, what we might enjoy if those bills were collected. The possibility of pursuing the next step for the unpaid bills. I've seen pink bills come to my house. Why can't you send another postcard with a that's another color and just a gentle reminder before you try to go to any tax roll or billing or collection agency or anything like that? A gentle reminder, maybe with a thorough explanation of why this is in being billed in arrears. Um, Ms. Lucy mentioned just three liens out of Oceano. Oceano has the ability, just like Grover and Arroyo, to turn off the water, to keep the water from flowing. Those three liens are when a tenant changed or a house was sold. That's the only way, because you don't get water if you don't pay the bills. That's the conundrum the district's in by taking on the billing themselves. They have no way to turn the service off. You always had a hammer. You always, as a water provider, have the hammer on the ratepayer who doesn't pay. So three is not some magic number. It's because they don't get service if they don't pay their bill. I supported you in October and again in April when you made the decision to go to option one. I would also support that decision tonight. If you choose something different and go back to the member agencies, but for Oceano, don't do that. But the other two, if you do, you need to revisit the $15,000 flat fee. That never has been explained. And that only came about because you were trying to get along with Oceano. If you can go back to the member agencies, and if that's your choice, then I think you need to go back to the other formula that's what was being done before, maybe with some escalator, some CPI, some cost of living, whatever it is. But the $15,000 flat fee was never explained. It's too much.
Thank you.
So I just want to point out while I'm still up here, the minutes that are in these packets do have expanded comments from the public, and they're helpful. So I again would ask that you ask your staff to expand the minutes to be more thorough, to include the comments of the public.
Is anyone else? So let me close it and bring it back to the board. In the famous words of Yogi Berra, it's deja vu all over again. So who wants to start with? Oh, well, first let me do this. I think Ms. Spencer asked a really good question regarding a clarification on with the county tax roll. There was a question of would it be a one-time fee of $10,000 and then ongoing $3,500 or... What is that?
John, you want to clarify, please?
Yes, sir. If you look at August 19th, actually the issue that was before the board on that night was billing options and sewer fees for Oceano. And so the $3,500 is what it would have costed on an annual basis to deal with Oceano. The setup fee is going to be the same. It's $10,000 whether we had all agencies or one agency. But then the annual maintenance, because you had a smaller population, was going to be $3,500 again. And so that dealt with Oceano instead of the district as a whole.
So John, if all three agencies were on the tax roll, it would be a $10,000 setup and then $10,000 annually?
Yes, sir.
And then if it's the hybrid, then it would be $10,000 setup and $3,500 annually for. And I think Ms. Lucy actually made a really good point. These are South Sand District customers that live in Oceano for those. Correct.
Yes, sir. That's what we were quoted by the agency, MBS.
Okay. So I think that clarifies that. Okay, Jim, do you have anything?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, and I'm the one who brought this item back with my apologies to the board, but and the public for going through this again. I note that on 10/28/15, it was accurately reported that we took action to put all three member agencies on the tax roll. At our April meeting, I don't believe we took any action. In other words, we didn't vote, we didn't do anything. We just allowed that 10/28 action to stay, to be unchanged. So actually nothing was done in April. I have three goals for the billing system of the district. One, reliable income stream for the district. Two, avoiding cash flow problems and crunch issues with our cash receipts. And the third is to minimize costs to the ratepayers. In general, as far as a reliable revenue stream and minimized cost to the ratepayers, converting to the county tax roll seems to be the answer to those issues. Looking at the cost for billing services ongoing, taking it at the average, they figured $10,000 to $15,000 annually, and I based calculations on 12,500, which is halfway through there, 10,000 parcels at $2 a parcel plus 12,500 comes out to $3.25 per customer per year at 10,000 parcels, which is, in my view, the upper limit of reasonable cost for billing services. And the issue then becomes, what about the objective of avoiding cash flow issues? And I note that we have three things going on. First of all, hopefully we will resolve within a year's time at the outside the ongoing litigation that we have built up unconscionable amounts of money in to try to resolve. Hopefully we can resolve that quickly going forward. But I think we need to be aware that the potential cost of that, if we were required to pay the advertised fine, would be just over $1 million. And I believe that that would be due within 30 days of whatever judgment or settlement would be rendered in that matter. The other issues that we have going on is we've started the redundancy project. We've set aside effectively we'll say in round numbers, $1.5 million for that, but another $500,000 for our grit removal project. So there's $2 million. So in round numbers, we're looking at $3 million of relatively near-term expense. And what wasn't well enough communicated, I don't think, until this evening when we had the third quarter budget performance, is our fund balances, especially 19, our operating fund. It seems to me that putting all member agencies on the tax roll this year would put us in jeopardy in terms of the cash flow objective. So given that, I would, rather than have all three member agencies convert simultaneously, I may look to do that down the line eventually, but it seems to me that the two cities should probably continue, for the interest of cash flow, to collect the fees due the sanitation district bimonthly as they have traditionally. And I think at the turn of the fiscal year, the contracts for those services should be reevaluated such that $325 per customer is the upper limit of what the charge for that billing service would be, $325 per year, amortized over the customer base, which would approximate the cost to the ratepayers of the tax roll billing. So everybody would effectively be paying on a per-customer basis the same amount. That seems to me to be the fairest way to handle it, to meet the three objectives, including avoiding a cash flow crunch, and to assure that no customers of the district, including those in Oceano, are paying relatively more for any one customer. All would effectively be billed at the same rate. It's just that the billing would, part of it would be done by the county and part of it would be done by the cities as they have for the year going forward, and then we can look at it after that and see where our cash flow issues land us at that time. So that would be my recommendation, would be to reconsider our action of October 28th last year to put the to have the two cities continue to bill as they have traditionally at a rate not to exceed $3.25 per year per customer, and to have the OCSD customers be put on the county tax roll.
Okay. Mary?
Well, I first want to start out with repeating myself once again. They're not the customers of the Oceano Community Services District. They're the customers of the Sanitation District that reside in the Oceano area. So I need to continue to say that, and I'll continue to say that, to treat one geographic area different than another geographic area is just, it's very disheartening to me. To hear people in another community dictate how one should live in another community. And I'm glad Dr. Arnoldson does not have any problems paying his water bill bimonthly. But many people in disenfranchised, underserved communities do live month to month. It's probably not the case in some of your communities, but it certainly is the case in the Oceano area. And so I had hoped, I particularly had gone out of my way to really be part of a cohesive board for the sanitation district, and not continue to do that. But I would like to see some goodwill. There has been hideous comments made about Oceano, just like Dr. Arnoldson when he was leaving the podium at our last meeting said, well, everybody can just die in Oceano, die down there. Beatrice Spencer has gotten up there numerous times and spoke negatively to the point where it sometimes scares me. Miss Welsh has made negative comments, but Mr. Clemens has come to the board of directors of Oceano and criticized every woman sitting at that table. You know, this doesn't happen in Arroyo Grande. It doesn't happen in Grover Beach. We don't go to the city council meetings and speak negative about your community leaders, about your policymakers, nor do we set policy for your communities. For others to come and set policy for the people of Oceano, it's almost unheard of. I think that the district has gone beyond, maybe not beyond, we can keep going if it's worth it, to try our best to put together a good faith agreement that will benefit the people who geographically live in the Oceano area. But this really started when Mr. Clemens had submitted an invoice to Oceano for a contractor, and when Mr. Ogren asked for the contract, and there was no contract, and we understand that, you know, there's change in leadership and stuff, but that's when Oceano's bills started getting pulled off the Sand District's packet. So let's just be clear and fair, and that part continues to be left out. The agreement is that in October, this board agreed that it would move three communities together. And now you're saying, well, let's experiment with the smallest one, the one that has the most to lose, the one that it's financially going to hurt even more than the others. Then we'll decide if we want to follow. But in the meantime, we're going to give the city of Arroyo Grande a raise. We're going to give the city of Grover Beach a raise. But we're going to decrease Oceano by 18%. Now, you expected us to take an 18% reduction in administrative services. This, to me, is vindictive. And if you can explain to me any differently, I'll be happy to give you my undivided attention. If you'll look on October 3rd, 2012, Ms. Tacker said that Mr. Gieselin had been playing games. I wholeheartedly agree with you. He played games. She said she likes the idea to do the billings in-house or outsourcing those services, such as putting them on the county tax rolls. The three entities together. I don't know how to, you know, we can collaborate, but I'm not sure how we can get the community to move together. Now, I know that OCSD is more than willing to hear any motions or, you know, proposed motions or proposed contracts, but to date, they've never received a contract. Grover received one, AG received one, but Oceano never received anything. And the $3,300 that Oceano was given back in, I think, August, was for a billing to be used as such. And there is the memo from the interim general manager, Mr. Clemens, at the time, to be used as such. That was, let's get them out in the bills, the most current bill cycle right now, so the Sand District can get their money. And we even said, okay, we can do it from billing cycle to billing cycle to help, but it was never enough. So at this point, you know, I don't know what to say. I'm not very good on all the negative comments that constantly are thrown at this little community. I just think it's hate.
Okay, come on, everyone. So I joked earlier when I said Desu all over again, and quite honestly, this board had made a decision, and it was brought back to us, and Jim, you were right, that we didn't, the only action we took was to say we were moving forward. So I'm glad that you've come back with a comprehensive report, which really lays out the pros and the cons, and because quite honestly, when I see a report that previously said there would not be cash flow issues, and now it flips and says that there are, it says to me that's information, you know, that this board needs to have. So I do want to reiterate, and I think, Mary, you make a really good point. These are South Sand District customers that live in Oceana, and the OCSD has provided a service, and thank the district for that. I think what we see is that we have tried to go down a road where we've got both cities that have an agreement to provide that service, and I think staff has tried, has obviously done the billing, and so we are seeing a significant loss in the area. So I just want to make sure that while there have been negative comments from folks in this audience and in the community, and I know I've been the target of some of those, but I think people, if you want to go back and look at the minutes and whatnot, you will find that I was the one who originally had said, I'm not so sure about going to the tax rolls. So Unfortunately, I find myself in a difficult situation because I have since had folks in Grover Beach I'm hoping they understand I've been trying to do what is in the best interest of the ratepayers, and that's really looking at the numbers with respect to, we looked at private and that cost too much. We talked about going to the county tax rolls, and I think it was pointed out today that the initial setup was $10,000 to $15,000 and ongoing was $10,000 versus paying the three entities $66,000 or the two cities $47,000. So, but clearly we got down a road, we made a decision, and some folks said that was a tax, and there's been a lot of misinformation out there. So what I'm going to do is I need to respect what the folks who live in my community who have come to me and raise these concerns, as long as they understand that basically, Jim, you talked about one of your goals to minimize cost to ratepayers, and I think we're not going to be there with this hybrid model, but as long as everybody understands that, I'm okay with that. And that's kind of, I just want to make sure that people know this is not being punitive to folks who live in one community or the other. It's just that we have kind of gotten to a point where we need to find a way to do the billing and collect the fees, because it does have an effect on us. And I really wish we'd have had all this information in one place previously, but we have it now. So I don't know if I could agree to, and I don't obviously have the ability to agree to 325 or the number that you mentioned. I think the fact is there are contracts out there that are set to expire, and that means there's another negotiation that needs to occur. I do want to make sure that anyone who is providing a service to this district is not doing it at a subsidizement, that they are able to collect whatever their true cost to provide this service is. So let's see what we can do as far as forming a motion, and hopefully we can put this issue to bed at least for 6 months. I think June 30th is coming pretty fast. So,
Mr. Schultz, I have a question to
yes.
you. In the cost to the tax rolls, have you costed in the staff time for entering all these accounts? Because the county will enter, you know, three or five accounts, but they will not enter three communities.
So,
but that. Just call them and ask them, and they'll tell you.
Well, I think staff can.
That's what the consultants are for. To clarify something that you said earlier, Mr. Schultz, Chairman Schultz, with regard to the cost compared to when we looked at it in October, you have to consider the fact that we were relatively inactive for that prior year. In other words, we had no real projects going. And in the time from then to now, we've gotten into the redundancy project. We've gotten into repairing the sewer bridge. All those things weren't going on at the time. We've gotten into the project, the grit removal project, and we've also gotten into and budgeted $300,000 for a project, which nobody mentioned tonight, for the headwork. So we've entered into five different projects since that time. So it's not so much of a flip-flop, but a change in activity at the district.
Well, and let's be clear, I'm not talking about a flip-flop. I'm really just talking about information that helps us make the best decision. That's all. So, and I really appreciate you bringing that up, because that clarifies it for everyone. Okay? So, does anyone want to try a motion? Or
I would move that we adopt a hybrid billing plan whereby the customers of the sanitation district that reside in Oceano, their bill would be collected together with the county tax roll, that the residents of the cities of Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande would continue to bill their residents on a bimonthly basis and pass the money through to the district at a cost more in keeping with the traditional billing that the cities have charged. In the city of Arroyo Grande, that is approximately $2.05 per parcel per year, but not to exceed $3.25 per parcel per year, which would be the all-in cost of the moving all the communities to the tax roll. And I would authorize the district administrator to negotiate those fees with the cities such that the cost would be minimized to the district ratepayers. That's my motion.
Well, that's one complicated motion. I wanted to support you. I just don't know if I can make a commitment on the 325. I certainly, if my community is going to provide a service, I want to make sure that whatever the true cost is, that they are being compensated. So I don't know what that number looks like. So I think it would be, I could support you if we don't have that word in there and we just direct staff to start the renegotiation process on the agreement, since they are set to expire in
June 30th.
And that those negotiated results would come back to this board for approval?
Okay, so the hybrid is the two who have agreements with the district would continue through June 30th with contract to be negotiated, and you've set some parameters. And I honestly can't say, because I will recuse myself when this goes to the city of Grove Beach. So I honestly don't know where they will be on this, but I think we need to move forward with respect to collecting monies that are owed to this district. So I'm going to second that motion with the full understanding that there still needs to be a negotiation with two of the member agencies and perhaps a third, and that number may be different when it comes back, because I don't know what they're going to accept. Okay? Are you clear on this motion?
I am.
As long as you're clear, and again, I want to restate that my
first part was clear. The second is to negotiate an agreement or an extension of the agreement with the two cities for fees to minimize to the district, but no set dollar amount at this point, but understanding some of the intent.
That would be my understanding. Make the motion okay with that. And I also just want to reiterate, I think Ms. Brown said, we're not playing the blame game anymore. Enough is enough. This is a business decision, and we really need to figure out how to, and I understand there's going to be some folks who this is not going to be good for, but we need to figure out a way to get some capital and some stability, and let's move on from this issue.
Can I get a clarification? Are you giving the residents, the ratepayers, the impression that they're going to get a reduced bill?
I'm not giving that impression at all.
Because that ain't happening for anybody.
Well, I think that's
whether it's $2.03 or $39, it's not going to affect the ratepayer's bill.
So that's not, I don't believe that's the intent. I believe it's just a matter of to have a negotiation with those two agencies. That's all. Okay. So let's do roll call.
Director Hill.
Yes.
Director Lucy.
No.
Director Schultz.
Yes. With that, we're going to take a 10-minute break. We're going to reconvene the meeting. And before we move to the next item, I do want to just remind everyone, when the League of Women Voters came here, they had talked about civil discourse and during meetings, and I'm hoping that we all remember that, what they provided, making comments in a respectful manner, understanding the other folks' side, no personal attacks, and I'm hoping that all of us, including us board members and those in the audience, can abide by that. So hopefully we can continue with business tonight in a respectful manner. And I think with that, we will move on to item 6C. This is a review of John Rickenbach's consulting invoice from April 20th, 2016 warrant for services provided to date. Mr. Huebner.
Thank you, Chair Schultz, board members, members of the audience. So we have a staff report for you today. This was an item that was discussed at the last board meeting regarding the invoice from Rickenbacker, John F. Rickenbacker Consultants, for the services on obtaining a coastal development permit from the Coastal Commission on the district's behalf. We have taken the comments that were received. We did look at the invoice. We do feel it is appropriate to pay that invoice for the services provided at the billing and the hours that were listed in the invoice. Again, we're reasonable and appropriate for the services provided. We do have the consultant here today, as well as our district engineer. So they have a presentation where they can describe some of those services, and then, of course, you'll have an opportunity to ask them questions of yourself. With that, I'd invite district engineer to have the opening comments and then follow from there. Mike, thank you for coming tonight.
Thank you, members of the board. I'm Mike Nemlith, MKN. Been working with the district to provide engineering support on the redundancy project and project management support. So I wanted to give a quick update on the non-permitting stuff, and then I'll ask Mr. Rickenbach to jump in and give an update on the other items. So I came to you in January with an update on the overall progress of the redundancy project and wanted to give a quick update. John will talk some about the coastal development permit application that you all recall was submitted March 15th. March 16th, the design firm was selected by your board, Kennedy Jenks Consultants. Their contract was authorized through phase one of work, which is preliminary engineering and some upfront work, but not get into the, the direction from your board was that the other tasks or phases would not be authorized until the input had come back from Coastal Commission and board felt confident that that the project could move forward. So in April, last month, we submitted the general information packet for the State Revolving Loan Fund application. That's a few pages, just gives some general information about the project. As you recall, you had considered a proposal from Bartle Wells to put together the financial package of the SRF loan for their construction loan, and you all had deferred that at your last meeting. This general information packet is required for any SRF loan, whether it's planning loan, construction loan, gives state board an idea of what the project's going to be, and you get assigned a project manager. So that's been done and uploaded. Doesn't commit you to do anything. So at this point, I'd like to turn it over to John and let him walk through some of the permitting strategy. We have had a number of questions at previous meetings about what the strategy is, what the status is, and likelihood of success and that sort of thing. So I'd ask John to come speak to that.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the board. I'm John Rickenbach, JFR Consulting, and it's really good to be in front of you. It's a really good opportunity for me to bring you up to date on a few things that have been going on that I know have been talked about. But really, there's some nuances that have sort of a lot of work behind the scenes. It's a little difficult to convey unless I'm actually here telling you about it. The next few slides I want to kind of convey a few different levels of how we're trying to go about doing this. The context for everything and what my discussions with staff, with Mr. Clemens, with Mr. Nunley have been over the last few months at the outset of the of trying to get forward on the permit is that we the district really needs to do this project. There's an urgency to it. It's really a public safety issue when we're talking about the redundancy project. And from a strategic standpoint, that was an important thing to consider when we met with Coastal and county staff, because timing was of the essence to be able to go forward for just the overall safety of those who are in, subject to the services. Now, that's where we began the discussion. So we thought, well, what's the way to do this? What's the best way to do this? So we engaged both Coastal staff and county staff early on, and I was really brought in and really at the beginning of this year to talk with those folks about their thoughts about how to go forward. One of the things that was very important for both of them to understand was the context of the project. First, in talking with county staff, went through some of the complex permitting history with regard to the site itself, different aspects of it. What we learned as a result of that was there had been some work, some permitting through the county, some through Coastal. So I talked with Coastal staff about this, and of course, it's considered original jurisdiction, which means you really need to be doing permitting through Coastal directly, which was a suspicion I had at the beginning, but confirmed with them. But it was also important in talking to the Coastal staff, and primarily I'm talking about Daniel Robinson there, for them to understand that this isn't a project. It's not a project that's intended to provide additional capacity. It's really a redundancy project to allow certain facilities to be brought offline and maintained to allow the function to continue, and that everything would be done within the footprint that the site is on and so forth. And I think Coastal really got that at the staff level, and so did the county. So there was a that took a little bit of work to get that level of understanding. Also a lot of research from the past information that we have that we had. But as a result, from a strategic standpoint, it was let's put together a permit application. And we know that there's a desire to move things as quickly as possible here internally, but also from our perspective and my experience, one of the ways to do that is to submit an application, even if it's not completely done, as early as possible to the staff so we can get a quick read from them about things that are missing or things we need to do. It's really a back and forth. So we did submit a digital version of that application at the end of February. It was actually a good strategy because what happened then, let me go on to the next slide. Well, let me hold that thought. We did submit that then. I'll get onto that point a little bit when I talk more about Coastal. Ultimately, we revised that and submitted that on March 15th in a more formal way and a complete way to elicit a response from them, which we would have needed within 30 days, which we got. I'll tell you a little bit about that response and what we're doing about that in a bit. But that application, based on Coastal's response, is good for 6 months. We can actually extend that as needed. I wanted to give you a little context here why the importance of the project is. This is the trickling filter on the site. And you'll see on the right, you'll see cracks. That's a photo of a crack, which is along one of those columns on the outside. It sort of shows, this is just to illustrate the condition of facilities that are out there right now. Now, this is a facility that would need to be brought offline and maintained, but without the redundancy project, you really can't do that. So that's why the urgency of the project, and I think Coastal kind of understands where we're coming from on this a bit. Now let's talk about things that Coastal would need, and we understand that goes into a CDP, Coastal Development Permit process, the CEQA compliance. Now we internally thought about this at the beginning, thought a mitigated negative declaration would be appropriate given the type of project it is, and started going down that path a bit, but also did a lot of research about what's been done here in the past. Now, it wasn't apparent at the very beginning because the records were not easy to do the research on and find, but we did find, actually, that the district had approved the project and a mitigated negative declaration for it back in 2010. So part of the research was to figure, was that project the same project we're talking about today? And the answer is, substantively, it is. It's the exact same project. And the neg deck that was produced then was really well done. It actually talked about a lot of the issues we're concerned about, including flood hazard and such. So strategically, it was then, well, then let's talk to Coastal about this as a strategy. And so in talking with them, it was, here we've got old CEQA documentation, which has been adopted. So under CEQA, you've got an approved project, has an adopted CEQA document. Can't we still use that if we're doing the same project? And the preliminary read from Coastal was, well, that seems like a good strategy. So that's where we went down that path. And we then, that's why in the February digital version, we didn't have a CEQA document. We're still trying to work that through with them, but then submitted it that way on March 15th, or they received it on March 15th. So then we got a response back from Coastal on April 15th, 30 days after it was submitted. And it was actually a much better response than I would have expected normally from Coastal. They did ask for a few things to address as part of the application for it to be deemed complete for purposes of possible approval, among which were to ask the board here to verify that, or ask the district to verify that the project that was being proposed then is really the same as now, and that the records show that. But they also asked for some technical things. One, they were concerned about sea level rise, which was not an issue that was discussed much in 2010. So we're working with staff here and Mr. Nunley to try to get technical work done toward that end. Now, that's an important piece of the puzzle, too. And of course, there's a wetland area offsite that Coastal is concerned about as well. So again, that's more clarification, but again, working with staff to address that issue as well. Our goal here in all this is to address all the key issues. And other issues, for example, where they asked to confirm with county staff that no approvals from the county would be needed. Now, I've been working with county staff on that question, and in fact, I expect I'll be getting some sort of written concurrence shortly on that we can bring to Coastal as part of a package to show, here are the things that we've done to address your concerns. Now we'd like to meet with you and knock those off one at a time. Now, let's move forward here for a moment. On the CEQA approach, since we have an adopted negative declaration, mitigated negative declaration, the question will become, is the project that we actually go forward with still the same project in substance as what was looked at in 2010? Well, if as a result of the sea level rise study and the wetland discussion, it doesn't change the project, then the answer would be yes. If it does in some fashion, then we have to figure out what aspects of the project are different and whether the old CEQA documentation still applies. That's a question we couldn't have known a month or two ago. We only would know it once we went through the process to get Coastal's feedback on this. Now, I've talked a little bit about how we've dealt with Coastal here, but again, we've engaged them informally, through conversations, emails, and such from the get-go. And as I said, the idea of working with them to send an informal application was actually a good strategy and led to submitting the formal application on the 15th of March. The feedback, I've brought you up to date on that here, too. I know that there's been a desire to meet with Coastal as soon as possible. And in fact, I actually met with Coastal staff last week on a different project and asked them if it was possible to combine that into a meeting here. They just didn't have time. I think that's a theme with Coastal staff. They have a lot of things they're doing. They have to work it into their schedule and priorities. But they did. They desired to come and meet as well on this project as soon as possible. Our recommendation is make sure that when we do meet with them, to have answers for their questions so it's productive, so it's not just simply going over the concerns. I've been able to talk over the phone about their concerns in their letter. We want to be able to produce results to them as soon as we can. Now, that leads us to where we are in the schedule relative to Coastal and the application process. Critical work that needs to be done all mostly relates to the sea level rise issue. There's survey work that needs to be done to get topographic survey work done. We need to analyze the sea level rise issue as well. And our assumption at this point is those can be completed within the next month and a half. And that may or may not be exactly the right time frame, but soon, those are priority issues. Following that, we'd want to meet with the coastal staff to go over the findings, what we've done to address their concerns in their letter of April 15th, and then make a determination of whether that falls within the framework of what the neg deck that you've already adopted, whether that still applies, or whether we need to address the changes to the project to address those concerns, what we might need to do that, and see if that still falls within the mitigation measures and the disclosure of that's been put forth in the neg deck so far. It's really going to be up to, at that point, once we meet with coastal staff, to determine the timing of when Coastal Commission would meet for potential project approval. Ideally, if we can get in front of coastal staff to discuss all these issues by, let's call it July, August, somewhere in there, it might be, if they're okay with all of it, then they might be in a position to schedule it sooner than later. If there are sidetracks we have to take once we meet with them, then we're hoping to get it done by the end of the year. But the time frame is to get it done as quickly as possible, one way or another. So with that, that concludes my presentation. I'm here to answer any questions you might have, and Mike as well.
Thank you, John and Mike. Gerhard, did you have anything you wanted to add?
No, I think that's pretty comprehensive in terms of where we've come and where we're planning to go with the Coastal Commission and obtaining our coastal development.
Okay. So let's see if there's any questions of John or Mike. Jim, do you have any questions?
Thank you for the clarification on the it just had seemed to me unusual to have to not consider sea level rise in the submittal there, and something that I think would be expected for documents of that type. So I was just concerned that we hadn't put any consideration of that in our submittal. And I guess as far as a question goes, where are we in terms of our timeline and expenditure from your original estimate when we approved the project?
Sure. On the sea level rise issue, remember strategically the idea was we wanted to go in with time being of the essence to see if we can use existing documentation to the extent possible to get us from the point where we got the application in and figured out what was known and what wasn't, put us toward the beginning of March. We did get feedback at that point from Coastal that sea level rise would be, we got some informal feedback from them before that said, yeah, but let's look at your project might be okay, but we're not going to give you any kind of real feedback until we see something in writing. So that's why we wanted to get something, even if it was digitally, even if it was incomplete, to get that kind of feedback. Once we got that, I kind of knew where they were going with it more formally. We also want to, and we still need to work with them, exactly what they want in terms of their sea level rise study. It's not entirely clear. There's a lot of ways you can do that. You know, we're working with them in different communities on the coast. Obviously, we're aware of the sea level rise issue being very important. The question would be, how big of a study do we need, given that this is an urgent project that needs to be done quickly? The idea being, and Coastal understands it. So that answers kind of where we came from on that. Relative to my contract and where we are in the process right now, my contract, total contract was for $32,000. I've expended 11 of it. Essentially, I'd say we're well within where we expect to be. I think, we'll play it out as it goes, but I expect no problems relative to being able to work within that.
Thank you very much.
Mary, any questions? Okay. So, John, thanks for that comprehensive report. So, thanks for the – yeah, I admit I was thinking along the same lines as Mayor Hill with respect to, submitting an application and not having addressed sea level rise and some of the other things. But I understand when you talk about submitting an informal application to elicit a response from the coastal staff, because that's – sometimes a pretty challenging thing to do, so I understand that. With respect to the adopted NDE, I know there's been some discussion and some ideas being floated out there about does it make sense to even consider relocating the plant or whatnot? So my question to you is, I'm pretty certain based on my past experience that you're going to have to make some modifications to this mitigated neg deck and to accommodate sea level rise and some of the other items. So have you ever seen a situation where there was an expanded mitigated neg deck that looked at, let's say, alternatives, even though it's not necessarily a CEQA requirement per se?
Let me answer a few things in there. I'll answer that last one first. Under CEQA, you can do lots of things. Alternatives are normally something that are associated with environmental impact reports. Neg deck, you wouldn't normally do that. Now, one of Coastal's feedbacks to us is, are there alternatives to deal with, you know, with getting to the redundancy project? I think the way we want to address that to a large extent is the bigger picture on alternatives goes like this. In the long run, it may make sense to somehow, if there are need to expand capacity or function, sure, there are different ways to do alternatives to that. But that's not the project that's in front of us. The project that's in front of us is trying to fix a problem. Now, are there different ways to do that? There probably are different ways to do that to provide the ability to take certain facilities offline to maintain them. That's what the project ultimately is. If those different ways can better serve Coastal's concerns relative to avoiding offsite wetlands, I don't think it was going to in the first place, but we need to confirm that with them, or to deal with sea level rise issues, again, the trade-off there is, do you somehow raise things to provide a higher degree of risk certainty as part of the design, then you're dealing with things that in effect are going to become more mitigative than would have been otherwise considered in the current neg deck. And then you ask, what kind of work might need to be done to the current adopted neg deck? Well, there's a lot of things that could happen. One thing we could have done was start completely over and go through a process, and then that elicits responses you have to readopt. But until we know what the project, how the project design might actually be, you're best to start with the project design you have. When you start with the project design you have, we have an adopted neg deck. Again, it gets to the time versus money versus urgency question. So we start with that. If we do need to modify the design in some fashion, it's also there's two paths it might go. One, it might be it's such a big change that wasn't somehow where there are new impacts introduced that can't be mitigated or can be mitigated in the same way that we need to recirculate that document, even though it was last circulated in 2010 with the new information. And the other way is if the new information that we get through the sea level rise study and anything else leads to a design that might not be very substantively different or doesn't lead to new impacts, as that's the criteria under CEQA, or really substantive new information that are related to impacts that are potentially significant. If that's the case, then you in effect have an addendum to the existing adopted neg deck, which is really a staff report item that's not recirculated. We're not quite there yet, but that's where my thinking is going at this point.
Okay, and then did you just restate for me the time frame you see in responding to the letter from Coastal Commission?
Sure. Our response is we expect the critical path items being taking a month to 45 days on the survey work and sea level rise study. We're working with staff right now to figure out the best way to go about doing that expeditiously. The other issues that are in there, I think, are more easily addressed or more administrative and can be dealt with, I think, even faster than that. But the package of it, we're still looking in the two-month-out time frame, more or less. Then we'll be able to meet with Coastal staff and to determine whether we've addressed their concerns adequately. And in fact, in asking them that premature question, can we meet with you in advance to see if we're on the right track? Here's what we're doing. Their basic response has been, glad you're on the right track, but in our priorities, we have other projects we need to talk about that we actually have the information on right now. So that's where we're at. So we have good, that's good response from them.
Great. Thank you, John. Thank you for all the questions we've got for now.
Right. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
So let me open this item up to the public and see if anyone has any comments on this item.
Good evening again. I'm Jaylee Tacker, and I have to just say the staff report lacks the Coastal Commission letter, and it lacks Mr. Rickenbach's contract, because I think that's what you really need to be looking at when you're looking at the invoice. And the invoice is dated January 10 through February 29th. That's all we're talking about. All this other sideshow came later. This is later. We're only talking about this time of service. If he wants to extend this date to include this work, then maybe he has reached the $11,400. But something's not fitting in this time period, this 6 weeks or so. When I first saw the quality of the work, I was upset. I came to your board and said, this application is incomplete. Well, it's more than incomplete. It's wrong. It was wrong. And you know that line in the movie, you had me at hello? Well, you lost me at the question, is the proposed development in or near sensitive habitat areas? And Mr. Rickenbach checks no. If there had been, which there was, a mitigated negative declaration done in 2010, if he'd visited the site, you can't help but notice the place is a wetland surrounded by willow trees. It's a mud bog. Is that a sensitive habitat area? Absolutely. So you lost me right there, John. And there's a lot of other errors, not just incomplete, factual inaccuracies in what he submitted in February. He revised it, not changing the factual errors, attaching all the CEQA documents from 2010. He was before your board. His contract laid out that he would be doing CEQA. He sold you himself. You sole sourced the contract. He didn't give you this strategy. This strategy came after, and it looks like it comes after the date of the invoice. So when we get to paying the invoice, that's, I think you've got to keep the dates in mind, because the work came after the dates of the invoice. What Mr. Nunley, I don't know why he's here, he didn't need to come, but what he says is something about updating you on the status of the project, and that the general information package that went to the State Revolving Fund was recently sent out. I don't see the date right now. But it differs. The information in this application differs from the information in the coastal development permit. Those are red flags for me. If your population is different, if your price of your project is different, those are fundamental flaws in one or both of these applications. They need to be consistent. I would like to see you get Mr. Rickenbach's contract in here, compare the work that he said he was going to do with that contract to what he's telling you he now needs to do. He's also telling you that it's 2 months out. This is May. We were going to be at the Coastal Commission on a consent calendar sometime in June, according to his contract. But again, we don't have that here to reflect on. I understand from the Kennedy Jenks contract that there's a ESA support the permit, $30,000 in that contract to help this permit go forward. when does ESA get engaged, and how much are you going to spend on this? When the letter that's not here, but the letter in there talks about 100-foot setbacks from a wetland. There's no 100 feet. You can't. You get off the property, you're on the airport, which is also a wetland. But there's no way to get 100 feet setback. And, you know, sea level rise is one big thing that should have been addressed as part of the original application. I don't think the strategy was wise. But when you flood-proof, because I believe that when Kennedy Jenks and Nunley were here a few months ago, we talked about some changes for the project. We won't know what all the changes are until design is done. But if we're going to flood-proof, because that's what we talked about, flood-proofing these structures, you're going to have some footings that are going to go relatively deep to support these very heavy 9-foot-tall structures. You're interrupting the wetland flows, the water that goes underneath this property. So I don't buy all of the explanation that you just got. I got a whole lot of after February 29th work, and that's fine, but I don't think you got an accurate. Mr. Hill asked where you were with the contract as far as expenses. $11,400 is not it. Where are we, and how do you get out of the contract and have ESA take over if necessary? But I think you got a lot less than what you bargained for.
Anyone else? Seeing no one come forward, let me close it and bring it back to the board. Comments, questions, concerns?
I do know that the billing period, I'm sorry, the billing period, the billing period does appear to be January 10th through February 29th, which would not seem to include the March 15th submittal, for example, and some of the other. So I'm curious, I guess, of what exactly portion of the work is included in this due to the dates.
So, John?
I'm glad you asked that question. The great bulk of the work is included in that. The difference. All the stuff I discussed was really February 29th and before, with the exception of taking feedback that I had gotten, preliminary feedback from Coastal between the 29th and the 15th, and physically putting together the application from the materials that I had had to submit then. I think it was actually submitted on the 11th or the 13th. They received it on the 15th. So really you're looking at the vast majority of the work that's been done and what you have done, that bill represents nearly all of it right there. In the context of the question that was brought up about in the original scope of work, the idea was to get a permit and do the CEQA work for that. Now, at that time that the scope of work was written, the assumption was, from my end, I wasn't aware that CEQA had been done in the past. So one of the things then, once that we all collectively figured out, well, this is a workable document. That's one reason, for example, why the billings to date are where they are and not closer to the, I don't think it would be the entirety of the contract, but the fact is I think you've gotten some savings there just for having it going down this path right now. Now, where it goes from here, for example, in the scope of work, the sea level rise analysis was not part of that scope of work. That's true, and it never was, but again, if that's a path that we're going to be going down now, that's another question that's outside of my scope anyway.
And I could comment on the sea level rise. As you recall, part of the Kennedy Jenks contract includes as-needed services from ESA. The objective for that was not for ESA to complete the coastal development permit. It was to provide some specialty technical support For instance, they have coastal modelers who can do things like a sea level rise analysis. The challenge with the sea level rise analysis for us right now is we need a good updated survey of the wastewater plant so that we can look at the floodplain. Flood study, I believe, was, and I don't have the date in front of me right now, but I believe the flood study was last updated in 2012 for that area. So one of the things we need is a current survey, compare that to the flood information, and then also we're waiting for Kennedy Jenks to get back to us with, you know, what element of that $30,000 ESA has in their scope of work that would be allocated towards the sea level rise analysis. So that's through their contract. It's not a duplicate of Mr. Riggenbach's work or any other contract. It's specifically for technical support for things that might come up through the permitting process.
Okay. Anything else? John, do you have something?
Yeah. As far as the dates go, I was looking back at my calendar, and I just wanted to add this to what was going on at that time in late February. I remember we had expected to start a little sooner. I talked to Mr. Nunley, who talked to Mr. Rickenbach, and I remember in particular that they spent that weekend because there hadn't been, and we needed to get something filed, and I remember that they spent the better part of a weekend between the two of them, mainly Mr. Rickenbach, apparently. But they spend a lot of time on, even on just one weekend. You spend a couple of long days on the weekend, the hours add up. So I just wanted to add that, you know, I wasn't sitting there with them, but I'm kind of a witness because we were pressuring them that we got to get this out now. And I know that Mr. Rickenbach had been busy with some other things, and he was working back and forth. And I was saying the statement was we need to have something by Monday. And so they dug in and start preparing to what level, I don't know, but I know that they spent time getting this prepared in kind of in a lump sum fashion. So I just wanted to add that.
And thank you for that, John. And while you've got the mic over there, so when, and I think you had discovered that we had an adopted mitigated neg deck in a project, correct?
Yeah, I was going through some of our records, and I was looking for records related to this thing, and I remember that the past administrator Wallace had done some work on this, and he'd actually also started an SRF loan application back then. And as I was surfing through that, I actually found out that we had had a CEQA. I brought it back to Mr. Nunley and Mr. Rickenbach, and I told them that I'd seen the staff report, and then, of course, they wanted to see if the staff report was just a staff report, if it was confirmed. We went through, we found out that every element of the CEQA process had been performed at that time. And of course, then we started to formulate the idea and try to evaluate whether or not it would be a good idea for us to use this document, which would save us 2 months, or should we go through the CEQA process, your planner, you know, how that can go, even if it's smooth. If it's not smooth, it can be another several months. In our brains, we decided that it was better to submit this and see what the Coastal Commission did. I told you at the last meeting, and I'll tell you now, we were pretty happy that it came back, and what the Coastal Commission has said so far is there's a chance that you could just do an addendum to this, and this will be fine. If that's the case, it's going to save us a lot of time and money. If not, we were going to have to do it anyway, so we'll just go back and do it the other way.
Great point. Thank you, John. Appreciate that. Mr. Rickenbach, I see a note on the invoice that says invoice 157 revised on 4/8/16. Can you maybe just clarify that note? So is this for the billing period, or is this actually worked through?
No, it's exactly the exact same invoice for the same billing period. I just broke out some of the tasks a little more clearly so you could see what was what. Even that, I think we're talking through things, but the point was to provide a little more clarity in the same invoice for the same work.
Okay. And then just work, I know this is beyond the billing period, but I'm looking at March 1st to today.
Yep.
Has there been much work done at all?
Not much. I have not submitted another invoice. And I'm going to withhold submitting one until I feel there's a little bit more behind it. I think let's resolve this first in my mind before moving forward.
Fair enough. Thank you, sir. Mary, you have anything?
The staff felt good enough about your work to sole source you the contract. I think that we need to move forward. And I did read your scope of work, and I feel like you've reached your goal in a lot of your scope. And so I'd make a motion that we pay Mr. Rickenbach for his invoice and move forward.
Okay. There's a motion. Is there a second? Okay, there's a motion and a second. Any additional discussion on the motion? Seeing none, let's do a roll call.
I do appreciate staff's diligence on contract administration.
We are in the city of Rio Grande, right?
Yeah, I do appreciate the staff's diligence in contract administration and making sure that we stay on track. So I just want to say that I appreciate that, as well as Mr. Rickenbach and Mr. Nunley's efforts on this project.
Very good. Roll call.
Thank you for those comments. I just want to mention they are an important part of the team that's moving our redundancy project forward. And, again, yeah, we'll watch the contract. So thank you.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
Director Chairman Scholes?
Yes.
Director Hill?
Yes.
And I would restate my desire when we have a response to Coastal Commission's letters and that meeting is set up that I attend with you. Okay. Let's move on to District Administrator and Plant Superintendent's report. Mr. Huebner.
Thank you, Chairman Scholes. Directors, members of the audience. So you'll see today's report. I've combined it with our plant superintendent report to perhaps to give you a little bit of context of, and a little bit more information on some of the things that we're working on. You heard earlier, perhaps even looking, and I'll just take the example of our Cherry Avenue sewer bridge project. And so you can see there a little bit of context of where the board's been, approvals, where we're going in terms of schedule, and perhaps even when we might start contracts or construction. And so I've tried to do that with each of our projects. So not only will the board perhaps be better informed, but members of the audience as they track our progress. So I, unless you have specific questions on the specific projects, the next section that I've added is our regional efforts, and I think I'll take the leap here that part of the reasons I'm here is work that I did in Ventura County in regional efforts, and I think it's fair to say that the sanitation district hasn't participated a whole lot recently in regional efforts, and we're not an island. We have a valuable resource, and we should have a seat at the table for those discussions. So you'll see the various committees that either historically we've been involved in or exist. And today I participated in, as well as Director Lucy, we were at the IRWM group discussion, which followed in the afternoon with the Water Resource Advisory Committee, which I got an update on some of the county's efforts and as well as groundwater. So the effort here with the regional effort is just to show perhaps where we can leverage our efforts or others can leverage ours, how potential grant opportunities may be identified, and certainly collaboration, you know, whether on a regional level or things where we can participate, where I think there's some real advantages. And it will come at your board at some future date. We need to get your concurrence on membership. I guess there's a formal resolution in terms of actually being on the IRWM group, and as well as I think also our Flood Control Advisory Committee rep has expired, so we need to have that updated and so forth. So certainly bring back to your board's consideration and who you want to be the rep and perhaps an alternate. Moving on, we have our superintendent's report. I wanted to, John's done a great job with the staff keeping our plan in compliance. You can see highlighted in yellow, really those are the permit limits. You can easily see the comparison in terms of the performance of the plant. I just put out, it continues to meet our permit limitations as required by our MPDS permit, and that acronym is spelled out for you there. Lastly, we have a number of operation and maintenance projects listed, and if you have any questions, John can fill you in on that. And with that, so I mentioned earlier that we are working on the health benefit issue. I also want to bring to the board's attention or the public's attention that as I've come to the district, I'm asking a lot of questions, I'm doing forensics. There wasn't a lot of investment, I'll just say, in a lot of the facilities, specifically the district administrative office. We're having some evaluations in terms of industrial safety. There may be some issues of health and safety for the staff that reside there, including your administrator. So we are going to have some evaluations as well as ergonomics, and that will be considered through the budget process, and I'll be bringing back, hopefully, whatever those evaluations come forth. So really, some of it's shocking, in my opinion, some of the things, and some of the board members have been out there. Conditions of the roofing, the ducting, the air conditioning, carpets look like they haven't been replaced in 40 years. The furniture is probably when the plant opened in 1966. Here's a few examples. So, again, full disclosure, I'm just coming in with a clean set of eyes, and I didn't put that specifically in the report, but this will be something that we'll have some discussion on as we move forward.
Great.
And that ends my report. Happy to answer your questions.
John, is there anything you want to amplify under the superintendent's portion of this report? Or?
No, nothing in particular. That's pretty.
Very good. Thank you. So any questions of Gerhard or John?
No, but again, I appreciate the set of eyes and looking at ergonomics and other issues.
I believe when Chairman Scholes was out there, I was sitting in a broken chair. Go get a new chair.
Yeah, I'm just glad you didn't have me sit in it.
I want to thank you for meeting with me this last week. This is actually the first time I've had a general manager from the Sand District take a one-on-one, so I appreciate that. I would be very open to hearing different ideas on having regional approaches, having collaborations. I think the South County can definitely benefit from attempting to work with each other. So I'm really glad you're on board. I think you have a lot to offer. It has been a visible vacant spot, not seeing the Sand District represented at the IRWM nor at the RAC meeting. So thank you for attending those, and I know you have a lot to contribute as well.
Okay. So let me see if there's anyone from the community I would like to address the district administrator and the plant superintendent's report only, please.
Okay. I'm Julie Tacker. And historically, this district has said you're not a water purveyor. Yet, the regional approach to recycle water certainly lies in your hands. Jeff said it best 2 weeks ago. You might have forgotten what he said.
I'm trying to figure out which Jeff you're talking about.
My Jeff.
Okay.
My Jeff. Jeff Edwards was here two weeks ago, and he said that their train is rolling. And you just awarded more cars to Mr. Rickenbach. There's $20 million headed for the redundancy project, when that $20 million might better be spent on a regional recycled water facility and a whole new sewer plant, because he showed you some decay in the concrete. if I didn't know when you were interviewing administrators that you wanted the administrator to go to the RAC or go to the IRWM group, it never occurred to me that you had taken this other step to expand into the water business. You are in the wastewater business. You have one purpose. And until you are paid to do something else, I don't know that he should be paid to go to the IRWM group. When you suggest he goes, after some discussions at NCMA, when there's something that comes up that involves the Sand District, absolutely, you get involved. But that's your jobs as representatives as well. And I always talk about the NCMA partnership, and you're in this together, and the regional approach. But I didn't know that you had already made a conscious decision somewhere, not in front of the public, that this was a duty of your administrator of the sanitation district. There's a lot. 5 projects are rolling now. There's a lot for him to do. And now he needs new carpet and furniture, which may be necessary and totally understood, but is really spending half the day up in San Luis Obispo at the IRWM part of the scope of work from you? Did you give him that direction? Because he works for you.
Is there anyone else? Okay, seeing no one come forward, this is a receive and file report. Thank you, Gerhardt and John. Ms. Stockton, can you cover the closed session items tonight, and then I will ask for public comment on those?
Thank you, Mr. Schultz. The district board will retire to closed session for a conference with legal counsel concerning existing litigation under paragraph 1 of subdivision D of Government Code section 54956.9. Concerning 2 cases. The first case is called South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. That's the first time I've ever said that without stuttering. Versus Special District Risk Management Authority. The second being South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District versus State Water Resources Control Board. Then secondly, a conference with labor negotiators. With the agency designated representative being the district administrator and the employee organization being unrepresented employees.
Thank you, Ms. Tonkin. And is there any public comment on closed session items? Ms. Brown?
Sharon Brown, Clover Beach. I'm sure you all know what I'm going to say, because I've said it over and over again, and I'm going to repeat it now. Like the billing issue, the issue of a settlement with the water board is paralyzing our movement forward. I think the time has come, and I respectfully request that you, as a board, use whatever authority is in your power to settle now, to terminate litigation. So that's number one. Number two is I understand that a meeting of the water board will be taking place on either the 12th and or the 13th of May. Is this an opportunity to plead our case and encourage an acceptable compromise? Will members of our staff and our board be meeting? And also, is this an opportunity for the public, our public, our 3 agency residents, to say, we need relief. We need to stop litigation. We need to stop paying legal bills.
Thank you, Ms. Brown. Anyone else?
Well said, Mama Brown. I have one more comment, and that might be to consider the fact that we may come from a stronger position of trying to work out a settlement if we weren't, in fact, suing the Water Board when the meeting on the 12th or the 13th takes place. I think they may look more favorably upon us if we weren't dragging them through the mud for something that we know was our mistake. So, thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Spencer. Anyone else?
Julie Tacker, and I'm much more interested in the SDRMA case. Last we saw, we haven't had an update. Last we saw was a tentative ruling. Has that been finalized? And, you know, every time these items come back on your agenda, Ms. Stockton, Mr. Trujillo, Ms. Thorne, all bill just to pick up the phone to talk to each other. They bill you. Get out of the litigation business.
Anyone else? Okay, anyone else? Seeing no one come forward, I want to close this to the public, and we are going to recess in the closed session.